This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're wrapping up a 2013 Packers season. Today, we're going to be discussing and dissecting the play of the Green Bay Packers safeties, which was not very good this past season. In fact, it was downright pathetic. I mean, bottom of the barrel in the NFL bad. We're probably talking all-time NFL history bad. It really wasn't good. I exaggerate perhaps in the all-time NFL history. I certainly haven't, you know, watched other teams as closely enough as I should from 1940s onward, every team in the NFL, to know whether that's true or not. But regardless, I do know that the play of the Green Bay Packers safeties in 2013 was beyond poor. And what I want to draw your attention to today is if you could, and I believe Jamie on our live blog is going to try to provide links from a couple articles in the media about the Packers safeties as of late. One from Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just published in today's newspaper, I believe. And the other from Cheesehead TV's own Zach Cruz over at Bleacher Report, article he wrote on the Packers safeties as well. I kind of want to take bits and pieces of both their material because they're both very well-written articles and that kind of illustrate kind of how dire the situation is at safety in Green Bay. I don't need to really, remind people listening to the show just how poor it is. But I do think there are some statistics that really illustrate just how inept the performance in the secondary, particularly at safety, was this season for the Green Bay Packers. And I can see the link is up. And if you start by taking a look at Zach Cruz's article at Bleacher Report, he provides some statistical tables within his articles. And I want to draw your attention to the one, the production the Packers got from Morgan Burnett and M.D. Jennings combined in the year 2013, the season 2013. Now, these statistics are not for one player, they are for two players. Combined in 2013, Morgan Burnett and M.D. Jennings had zero, count them, zero interceptions. They had zero, nil, zilch, forced fumbles. They weren't shut out in tackles for a loss. They had four tackles for a loss. They had five passes defended, meaning they got their hands on five total passes. That is an average of 2.5 passes defensed per player for an entire season. And then, if you take a look at the passing statistics, opposing quarterbacks, when targeting the Green Bay safeties, and I'm just talking about Morgan Burnett and M.D. Jennings here, not talking about Chris Banjo, Sean Richardson, or anybody else, but when they targeted Burnett and Banjo, opposing quarterbacks completed 46 of 60 passes for 612 yards and 9 touchdowns. That is a passer rating of 148.1. It doesn't get much better if you're an opposing quarterback. By all means, if somebody on the live blog would like to point out the total possible passer rating you can get for an NFL quarterback. It's something like 150 some odd number. There's like a limit. It cuts off at like 158, is it? Or is it 153? It's some odd number. But I mean, they were almost perfect when throwing in the direction of Morgan Burnett and MD Jennings. And you know, what one statistic that really impacts passer rating in the NFL is you know, one touchdowns and two interceptions. It's really helped by touchdown and impacted negatively by interceptions. Well, when you throw nine touchdowns and you don't grab a single INT, of course you're going to have a high passer rating. And if there's one indicator of success in the NFL, here they're throwing it on the libel, 158.3. The what opposing quarterbacks when targeting the Green Bay safeties were basically 10 points short of a perfect passer rating to sum things up. Thanks, John and Mike Levinowicz on our live blog for pointing that out. So, I mean, it's ridiculous what's happening here and how inept they were. And you know, it wasn't just, you know, okay average play that we're harping on. It is, you know, among the worst in the NFL. If for this season, at least, it had to be the worst in the NFL. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it here. That's how bad it is. And this really is something that deserves to be harped upon as far as the shortcomings of the Green Bay Packers this season, as we look at the, you know, kind of the season in review as a whole. It's terrible. Here's the individual statistics for MD Jennings. Again, also, I'm just taking this from this article from Zach Cruz. By all means, please go there, read the whole thing. It is worth your time and effort. MD Jennings played 855 snaps. Okay, 855 he was on the field for this season. I'm assuming this is just regular season, not the playoffs. He made 74 tackles. Whatever, tackles are kind of a meaningless statistic to me. I mean, not entirely meaningless, but it really doesn't paint much of a picture, kind of when looked at in a vacuum. MD Jennings had zero passes deflected in 2013. He didn't get his hand on a single pass. That tells you how, I mean, if he didn't deflect a pass, he didn't grab an INT. I mean, it's unfathomable how bad this is for playing 855 freaking snaps. Forced fumbles, zero forced fumbles. He allowed five touchdown passes to his, you know, man, his responsibility, and opponents had a passer rating of 148.8 in his direction. That is MD Jennings alone, which is ridiculous. MD Jennings, it's, you know, I feel bad for the guy. He's a good guy. He's more well known for anything in his career than being the guy who should have came up with an interception on the Fail Mary play at Seattle the previous season in 2012, and it's a shame he didn't get that. All that being said, I mean, you know, if MD Jennings was the four-string safety who just played special teams, he would be fine, I suppose. I still think he's a fringe NFL player at best, and that's at best. He's probably a Canadian Football League player, which I know I've said that many times, and it's getting to the point where I'm repeating myself and kind of making fun of it, but MD Jennings is not a starting caliber NFL player. And I think this kind of, you know, I think his play this season kind of proved that. I mean, I don't know how you can be out on the field 855 snaps and not get your hands on a single pass. I think if I was out there 855 snaps, not that I would last that long in the NFL, but I would find my somehow, some way to bat down a pass over that span of time. It's weird. MD Jennings is technically a restricted free agent this upcoming offseason. So, you know, it starts in March. He can't negotiate with other teams, or at least he can't until the Packers have a certain, you know, they have the opportunity to re-sign him first. And if they choose not to, then he could sign with other teams, things like that. I would not be surprised if the Packers re-signed MD Jennings just for that simple fact. He now has 3 years in the NFL. He's 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. But, kind of continuing here on the same vein, even if they do re-sign him, even if he is part of the team in, 2014, I mean, MD Jennings is your fourth string safety next year at best. If he was that, if he just played on special teams, I suppose there's a spot for him on the team. But I mean, if we're talking about MD Jennings as a starting safety again next year, I mean, there should be riots in the streets. I don't know how the Packers coaching staff, the general manager can live with that being the case. They have to find talent elsewhere, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency, whatever. They got to go out and get somebody else. MD Jennings isn't going to get it done. He is obviously the weak link. Now, talking about Morgan Burnett, here's a guy who underachieved, and he did not have a very good season. Morgan Burnett is, much more talented than MD Jennings. That's where they have to make the change. I think if Morgan Burnett were paired next to a better player at safety with him next to him, he would be better. How much better? I don't know. I don't know if he goes from instant, one of the worst in the NFL to Pro Bowl. But, if we could just get, a step up to average would be great for Morgan Burnett in 2014. Seriously. But, Morgan Burnett, 2013 here. Again, his statistics. He had 96 tackles, which is good, but in a vacuum, tackles itself, doesn't tell the whole story. He had zero interceptions. He had five passes defensed. He had zero forced fumbles. So Morgan Burnett coming up with basically zero turnover plays. I know he did. What did he have? Like a team leading three fumble recoveries, but fumble recoveries, that might be a statistic even less meaningless than tackles. Fumble recoveries is a product of being, in some cases at the right place at the right time and being sheer luck. Although there is something to be said for being in the right place at the right time. But it's not like Burnett was the person forcing the turnovers, not grabbing interceptions, not forcing fumbles. He was simply, in the right place to, pick up somebody else's, coming up with the glory of somebody else's hard work who ended up forcing the fumble. So, zero interceptions from this Packers safety position in the NFL, over 16 regular season games. It just doesn't, get any worse than that. You can't have negative interceptions. Zero is as bad as it gets. Morgan Burnett, he signs, what is it? I'm doing this off the top of my head. He signs a 5-year, $26 million extension in the offseason. He does not have You know, he doesn't live up to the contract, and people are obviously kind of, you know, disappointed in that. And you know, I do think, you know, all the money they gave him, they, you know, it's you know, it's not even worth talking about. Can the Packers cut him? They have so much money invested into Morgan Burnett, they can't cut him now. Now, perhaps if he were to play this bad for a season or two, I mean, they could talk about perhaps cutting him in the future and eating money then. But I think you have to hope and pray he does get better, and maybe with a better running mate at safety, he does get better. But, I mean, I guess I want to point this out. In just two seasons ago, in 2011, here is Morgan Burnett's production. Just 2 years ago, he had 107 tackles, 3 interceptions, 11 passes defensed, and 2 forced fumbles. So that is an increase from, you know, in two seasons, he went from 3 interceptions to 0. Okay, I'll take 3 any day of the week. His the number of passes he defended, he deflected, it was cut in half. It was 11 in 2011, down to 5 in 2013. Cut in half. He forced 2 fumbles in 2011. Forced 2, 0 in 2013. It's just, you know, to have that much of a decrease in production is ridiculous, and it shouldn't be accepted, or you know, the Packers coaching staff has to be a little bit more mad, I think, with the play they got out of their you know, safeties. And what I want to draw your attention to now is the article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Tyler Dunn, in that he interviews coach Darren Perry, the safeties coach in Green Bay, and asks him about the position there in Green Bay, and what's happening next. They asked about the play of the Packers safeties in 2013, and I'm trying to get the quote here from Darren Perry, in which they're talks about the safeties and tries to get a little bit of a handle on the play of Morgan Burnett and MD Jennings, and here it is. We make no excuses, Perry said. And pardon me, I'm trying to read this here on an internet browser that is not being too kind to me at the moment. I wish I could see this a little bit better here. I'm having a hard time reading it. Darren Perry says, I don't think it was a lack of ability. The ability is there. And that's the part that I take umbrage with. He says, I don't think it was a lack of ability. That this is coming from Packers safeties coach Darren Perry. I don't think there was a lack of ability. I'm sorry, Darren Perry. I know you're in the corner of the players you coach. These are the guys who you, stick up for, the guys you're there day in and day out with, trying to teach on a daily basis. But I'm sorry, if you don't think there's a lack of ability among the Packers safeties, there's something wrong. And I'll give Darren Perry this. That Morgan Burnett probably does have the ability because he's shown to in the past. MD Jennings, he has a lack of ability. I'm sorry. He's a nice guy, but as far as the NFL goes, as far as being the highest level of professional football in the world, I'm sorry. He's got a lack of ability. He doesn't deserve to be on the Packers roster. And if he is on the roster, he doesn't deserve to be anything better than the third or fourth string, the third or fourth guy off the bench. That's just the simple fact of it. I mean, that's what it boils down to. I mean, I haven't even gotten to the play here of Sean Richardson and Chris Banjo, and we started to see Sean Richardson play a little bit at the end of the season. It was kind of a timeshare between MD Jennings and him. And you know, Sean Richardson is still raw. He spent the first half of the season on the PUP list. He had a very serious neck injury. They were thinking about not even clearing him to ever play again, at least for the Packers organization. They decide finally, after, you know, he's out half a year, that, okay, he had surgery on his neck. We feel it's okay for him to play again. So he's kind of behind the eight ball to begin with. And, you know, Sean Richardson, still young, only his second year in the NFL, his first year cut short by this injury. And, you know, basically, Sean Richardson is kind of, more than anything, an in-the-box safety that is really good being physical and tracking down the football and getting after running backs. That's what he does well. And you know, is he perfect at it? No. But what he is not, and what the Packers really, you know, I think are scared about, and you saw it there in the one game, what game? I think it was Pittsburgh, right? The second to last regular season game in which he lines up deep. He's too deep in the end zone. There's a touchdown made in front of him, and he's too late getting to the play. You know, that's what you saw his shortcomings are, and that's why he didn't play more. And that's the area he has to improve if he's going to be more of a factor in Green Bay. I really don't get why he didn't play more instead of MD Jennings. I don't think he was any worse than MD Jennings out on the field, and perhaps could have been better. So, I mean, there is that to take into account. But basically, that's the long and the short of Sean Richardson. Chris Banjo, he actually did a really nice job on Packers special teams units this year. He was one of the team's leading special teams tacklers. He was kind of a spark plug in that department. As far as being a guy who's going to play in the secondary, he's just 5'10". He's kind of small, short, shorter than what the Packers like. And yeah, I don't think he's really a factor there. I think it's interesting, too. Chris Banjo is an exclusive rights free agent coming up in March, meaning he can only sign with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, there's kind of, you know, stipulations between exclusive rights and restricted. And I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers sign him just simply on special teams play alone. I think he does deserve a look. And again, you know, kind of another guy being your fourth string safety or whatever that can provide some special teams production. That's what you want out of a fourth, you know, the fourth guy off the bench or whatever. So I don't think Chris Banjo is ever going to be a factor, a starter in Green Bay. What they have to do, I spent, you know, the first 25 minutes of the show basically laying out how poorly the Packers safeties are and how poorly they played in 2013. So how do you go about rectifying this? How do you go about, you know, fixing it? And you know, I think, you know, some players voice their opinion, Tremont Williams being the most vocal, him talking to the media the day after the season ended, saying they need veterans in Green Bay. And I don't know how much I really buy that. I see I see where he's coming from, and I'm not against going out and getting a veteran in free agency to play safety or cornerback or whatever it is in Green Bay. I just don't think that's, you know, necessarily has to be where the Packers improve. They don't have to go out and get some expensive free agent. I get probably multiple times a day tweets from fans saying, what about Jarius Byrd, the Buffalo safety, the guy who received the franchise tag from the Bills this past season? Now he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. They should go out and get him. I think you have to realize that Jarius Byrd is looking for franchise tag type of money, and the Packers probably are not going to be able to afford that. I don't know. It is worth finding out. It is worth talking to his agent. It is worth, you know, trying to figure out if he would be a fit in Green Bay and if they could afford him and fit him under the salary cap. By all means, I don't rule it out. But, I haven't even sat here and looked at the entire list of free agents. I know another name I get people throw to me on Twitter, TJ Ward of the Cleveland Browns, and I know he had a very nice season. That's about my knowledge of the free agent class of safeties here, with the NFL season not even over yet, with 8 teams still alive in the playoffs. Now, once the season ends, but I'll start looking more at free agency more. But they have to get something. So, does it come from the free agency? Does it come from the draft? I know in the NFL draft, just basically paying a little more attention to the college game and putting together our publication every year, I don't think there's as much talent at safety this year as there was last year. Not to say it's a bad class of safeties. I do think there is some people there that could be difference makers. And I think regardless, even if the Packers were to go out and sign a free agent safety, even if they were to sign a free agent, they would still have to draft another somewhere. It was just that bad in 2013. Now, if you go out and sign a free agent, you probably don't draft a first-round safety because, I mean, obviously, you're probably looking at Morgan Burnett as one starter. You'd be looking at a new free agent as the other starter, so you're not really looking for a third starter. Would be a nice luxury to have, but then you could address something else in the first round. But I think somewhere somewhat early in the draft, regardless of what happens in free agency, you know, day two, day early, day three, you're starting to look at another safety. I can throw out a few of the big names at safety right off the top of my head. I know a lot of people like Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Ha Ha is a nickname. Like his real first name is Haseen, and he goes by Ha Ha for short. I get this name thrown out to me 4 times a day on Twitter about Ha Ha Clinton Dix, and I don't know why people are so enamored with him. I don't think he is the can't-miss safety prospect of 2014 that some people make him out to be. He has something like 10 college career passes defensed in 3 seasons. He just doesn't stand out to me as a big play kind of guy. I think people like him because the history of safeties that Nick Saban at Alabama has produced over the years, and he's just kind of the next in line. And it's not like I don't think poorly of Ha Ha Clinton Dix. I just don't think he's this can't-miss prospect that some people are making him out to be, a top 10 draft choice. I'm not even sure if he's first-round material, to tell you the truth, although I certainly do think he's day 2 material, most certainly. Just comparing him to other guys throughout the years, I just don't see it. I do see guys like Deion Buchanan of Washington State, Ahmad Dixon of Baylor, Kenny Ladler of Vanderbilt. Those are some of the top safeties in this class we're looking at, and you know, that's guys that I would perhaps target if I'm the Packers, or names to keep track of. There's one guy I really like. That's the safety from Mississippi State. Boy, his name off the top of my head is escaping me, and I should have probably prepared more for the show. But I wasn't exactly planning on getting into NFL draft talk, but seeing as we have all the time in the world, I decided why not. The kid from Mississippi State, he ended up having a late season injury that I think is going to impact his draft stock. But I do think as a mid-round, as a late-round guy, he could end up being one of the steals of the draft. He is a big play kind of guy, and just pardon me here while I go look this up on 1 second as I kind of Google this while I'm on air here. I'm going to get his name as I look this up here. Here we go. Mississippi State safety. And I know this is making for exhilarating listening for the listener here. Oh, man. I'm coming up blank. You just type in Mississippi State safety, and it doesn't even come up with football results. It comes up with the state of Mississippi. Public, whatever. Nico Whitley. Thank you, Jamie Snowden, on the live blog for saving me for even more dead air than I've provided already. Nico Whitley. By all means, folks, look up that name. Look up what he's done at Mississippi State in the SEC against SEC caliber competition. He is really a good one. Suffered a late season injury that I think is going to impact his draft stock. I think he could be a mid-round guy that is very talented, that could help the Packers. We'll get more into draft talk in future episodes of Railbird Central. I think before the show got derailed right at the end, we did have a very good discussion on the Packers safeties in 2013 at the beginning of the show. Hopefully you remember that rather than my dead air at the end here. But thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central. That'll do it for today, and that'll do it for this week. We'll be back again on Monday, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called All My Life from DJ Harry on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.